Track 5, Norfolk's Sentinels of the Shore. A new book capturing the romance and adventure of Britain's lighthouses tells the story of those at Sutton Bridge, Cromer, Haysborough and Lowestoft.
It was as a child growing up on the beaches of East Meath in Ireland that Roger O'Reilly's fascination with lighthouses began. Specifically, the imposing, centuries-old Maiden's Tower at the mouth of the Boyne, built during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. The doorway to the tower, 2 metres, 6 feet off the ground, was open to all and sundry, and we would shimmy up the spiralling stone staircase to the lookout platform at the top, where we had a 360-degree view of the Boyne estuary, writes O'Reilly in his just-released book, Legendary Lighthouses of Britain, an Illustrated Guide to the Sentinels that Guard Our Shore, published by Watkins. By the late 19th century, the tower had been superseded by 3 unusual lighthouses situated among the dunes. Truncated towers that stood like Daleks on stilts, gazing forlornly out to sea and only coming to life as dusk crept in, he writes. For O'Reilly, the sense of composure and reassurance that I felt in the warm glow of those beacons was an almost tactile experience that has remained with me ever since. Ultimately, it also inspired him to embark on an odyssey around Britain to tell the individual stories of the nation's lighthouses. O'Reilly has worked for many years as an illustrator and storyboard artist for advertisements, periodicals, movies, and TV. Lighthouses, he says, capture the imagination in a way that few other structures in our built environment do. In 2017, he started sketching the lighthouses around island shores, subsequently writing and illustrating an award-winning book, The Lighthouses of Ireland. This latest venture started with a holiday in Cornwall, and, as his sketchbook filled with studies of harbours and lights, legendary lighthouses of Britain began to take shape. They're not all in the book. O'Reilly states that the collection was never intended to be comprehensive since, quote, 5 volumes would hardly contain the histories of the scores of lighthouses, both operational and retired, to be found on these shores. Instead, his primary criteria for inclusion were, are the lighthouses and the landscape visually engaging? And does it have an interesting tale to tell? Norfolk's lighthouses at Cromer and Haysborough get an entry, bookended by Sir Peter Scott E. Sutton at Sutton Bridge, just over the border in Lincolnshire, and Lowestoft, just inside Suffolk. O'Reilly has written an extensive introduction to the book, in which he captures his own emotional and nostalgic connection to the lighthouses, as well as providing an illuminating history of lighthouses and the various other means by which we've guided mariners away from danger, including beacons, buoys, lightships, and even foghorns. It makes a fascinating read, and O'Reilly's illustrations are beautiful and charming. He starts the tour at Eddystone Lighthouse off Cornwall, then sets off clockwise around Britain, so Norfolk Sentinels come later in the book. The southwest is so populated with lighthouses, it's amazing he ever got beyond Cornwall and Devon. But it's worth the wait. Norfolk's lighthouses have fascinating stories to tell, and we can be proud of the job they've done in helping sailors navigate the perilous North Sea. East Sutton, Sir Peter Scott Lighthouse. In 1826, the River Neen was realigned into a new channel, which became the Neen Outfall, intended to drain the low-lying inland Lincolnshire fens. The East Sutton Lighthouse was built with its counterpart, the West Sutton Lighthouse, on the opposite bank, but neither was ever lit. The conservationist Sir Peter Scott took up residence from 1933 to 1939, making various wildlife studies and paintings during his time here. From the lighthouse isolated out in the tidal marshes, Scott could observe the wading birds, and it was these that inspired his first book, Morning Flight. The 18-metre tapered tower is topped by an octagonal lantern with round windows. A single chimney peeps out over the copper-clad roof. The tower was built as a standalone building, but over the years, various additions have been added to it as accommodation, writes O'Reilly. Cromer. The current lighthouse is set half a mile from the cliff edge, though erosion continues to narrow that gap. It came into operation in 1833 and is constructed of masonry, with the octagonal tower standing 18 metres tall. When built, the tower was topped by a much larger lantern than at present, but with full electrification in 1958, the array of reflectors was removed. A new optic installed, and the old lantern was replaced with the current, much smaller one, writes O'Reilly. In June 1990, Cromer Lighthouse was converted to automatic operation, and it is still owned by Trinity House, the official lighthouse authority today. While the tower is not open to the public, the area around the lighthouse is accessible, and the keeper's cottage beside the tower is let out as a holiday apartment. Haysborough. Haysborough Lighthouse is the oldest working lighthouse in East Anglia, and the only independently run lighthouse in Great Britain. It is the surviving big brother of a pair of lights built by Trinity House following an unprecedented storm in 1789 that saw almost 70 sailing ships flounder off the Norfolk coast with a loss of over 600 lives. The duo, replacing the old Caister lights, operated as a pair of leading lights so that when a vessel lined both lights up, one above the other, it was set for safe passage around the southern end of the treacherous offshore Haysborough Sands and into the benign waters known as the Wood. With the high tower reduced to a lonely sentinel on the clifftop following the demolition of its sibling, there was concern that it might be mistaken for Winterton during daylight hours, and so it was decided to dress it up in its now familiar colour scheme of red and white bands, writes O'Reilly. Lowestoft. Lowestoft's first lighthouse was built at the beginning of the 17th century to guide ships navigating from the shifting sandbanks off the east coast as they transported coal from Newcastle to London. In 1777, the lighthouse was fitted with a new glass lantern, an experimental type of light known as a sparkle light. Imagine, if you will, says O'Reilly, a disco ball, which rather than being round, is the shape of a cylinder. Covered in 4,000 small square mirrors, this glittering tube was surrounded by a circle of oil lamps and reflected the light so efficiently it could be seen 20 miles or 32 kilometres away. Technology raced ahead, of course, to argand lamps, and then electricity. Lowestoft's light was automated in 1975 and further modernised in 1997. It's now managed by Trinity House's Planning Centre in Harwich.